I got good news for anybody in here who's been bound. I want you to consider that maybe this is a spiritual issue. Maybe it's not all about all the other stuff you've been doing that's not working. Maybe there's a demon who has made himself at home, and you have been his hospitality committee. You have been his host, and he is now free to roam in your world, and you've done everything but get Jesus on the main line when you're sitting right next to him. Hello, Tony Evans here with the Urban Alternative, excited to be proclaiming God's word and excited for the privilege of doing it with you. Today we have an interesting title, an interesting message. It's called Woman, Time to Straighten Up. Now, before you get offended and before you get upset, I think you need to hear what God has to say in his word about a certain woman in a certain situation who has just bent over too long. I know I've got your curiosity up, so I'm not going to hold back any longer. Let's go to God's word and find out exactly what I mean when I say, woman, time to straighten up. Our topic today is, woman, it's time to straighten up. Luke 13. Here is the condition. Verse 11, there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up. It's being emphasized that nothing she could do, nothing anyone else could do, could straighten things out for her. It says she had a sickness, some sort of spinal deformity that kept her bent over. She could never fully see things as they really were because she could never straighten up to see the whole of a thing. And she was stuck in this condition and this position for 18 years. She not only had a problem of health, she had a problem of habit because it had gone on so long. For 18 long years, this lady had to walk crooked and hunched over. The sympathy of many not being able to fix it. It had to be discouraging day after day, week after week, month after month, to get up to the same pain every day and to know things would never straighten out. I wonder if we have anybody here who things won't straighten out. They stay bent over. The pain, the problem won't go away, and you're stuck in the position. The position doesn't change because she couldn't straighten up at all. Her thing was physical. It's called a sickness. But we know a lot of things can bend folk over. A whole set of circumstances can bend you over. What your daddy did to you, what your mama didn't do for you, can bend you over and keep you an emotional cripple for a long time. There's some people here who are still spinning from things that's happened years ago, years ago, years ago, and you can't shake it. It's got you crippled and you can't straighten up. Every time you straighten up, you can only go so far. Because it's not only a problem of health, it's a problem of habit. You're used to being bent over. Because you can be bent over so long, you don't even know how to straighten up. And things aren't straightening out. They aren't getting better. You remain crippled in your situation. Well, that's the situation of this lady. This lady has been crippled by something. And it's been going on for 18 years. But not only is the lady crippled, she crippled in church. Because verse 10 says, this all happened in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Isn't it something to come to church for 18 years and things not to get better? for 18 years to be coming to worship God, praising God, singing to God, listening to sermons, and you're as crippled 18 years later as you were when the problem started. Maybe you're worse than she is. Maybe yours is broken. It looks unfixable. After all, it's 18 years. It's 18 years and nothing's going to get better, but let me go to church and sing to Jesus, pray and praise, and I'll just be the best bent worshiper I can be. So she's in church. But this service is going to be unlike any church service she's ever been to. This is not going to be a normal, this is not going to be a normal worship. So Saturday, it was a Sabbath, Saturday. For us it would be Sunday, but for them it's Saturday. Because on this occasion, verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." Now, this is not a normal church service. Because I don't know whether she went every Saturday, most Saturdays, occasionally, whether she went, you know. But this worship service was going to be unlike any worship service she's ever been to before. Why? Because every other worship service she went to church. This worship service, she went to Jesus. So evidently, you can go to church and not meet Jesus. It says, on this occasion, Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. And he said, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." She's sick because she bent over. Been bent over for 18 long years. All she could do was manage her mess. But on this worship service day, this bad situation was going to change. Because, watch this now, Jesus was not going to do what had been done for 18 years. Because for 18 years, everybody else dealt with the fruit. Jesus is going to address the root. Because twice in the story, we're told the cause. Verse 11 says that the cause of her problem was a spirit. Verse 16 says, "And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan hath bound for 18 years." Her problem was not the problem. It was the fruit of the problem. She was under demonic attack. First, a spirit, that's a demon, run by the head of the spirits, Satan. Satan had assigned a demon to her, and the demon had worked itself out in a bent overness. She was bent over because of a demon, not because of a physiological deformity. The physiological deformity was the result of a demon. But wait a minute. If the problem was caused by a demon, it can't be solved by a doctor. If the problem is caused by a demon, it can't be solved by a sermon. If the problem is caused by a demon, it can't be solved by a song. It can't be solved by you talking to your friends and your neighbor. It can't be taught. It can't be solved by you going through religious motion. If we are directly told Satan had her bound under his control, she was a hostage. Watch this. Spiritually, before she even became a cripple physically. Here's our problem. Here's why so many of us say so bound for wrong for so long. We're addressing the wrong problem. We're addressing the effect, not the cause. When Jesus showed up, he identified the real cause so we could get to the real solution. Now, you may raise the question, you may say, "But how can I be sure it's a demon? How can I know or at least have a good guess that what I'm dealing with
is demonically inspired. Simple. It won't go away. It's 18 years here, folks. It won't go away. We're not talking about a bad day. Something has created. Maybe you didn't create it. Maybe somebody created it on you and it was your reaction. That's why the Bible says, watch out for bitterness. It opens up an opportunity for the devil. Ephesians 4:27. Don't create an inroad for the devil. Don't give him a place in which to enter in. Because once he enters in, his expertise is holding people hostage. This woman was going to church for 18 years, hearing sermons on you ought to straighten up. But she couldn't straighten up because demons had her bent over. Demons, the spiritual realm was holding her hostage, not the physical realm. Her physical problem, Jesus said, was due to her spiritual demonic influence, control, oppression. She was being oppressed. But it says, Jesus saw the woman and called her to him and said, you are delivered. How do you know when you've been delivered? How can you be for sure that this is a real deal? This is not just a good day. It's the real deal. One word. It shows up throughout the Bible. It shows up again here. It says when Jesus spoke to her immediately. This wasn't progressively. This was immediately. Bam! 18 years worth of bent overness was gone and the woman could straighten up. It says immediately. Now, Please notice the woman's faith. Jesus said, come to me. That means she had to leave wherever she was standing and come over to him. She had to make her way to Jesus. It was in church, but it wasn't being in church that changed her. It was making her way to Jesus being in church. If you want to experience spiritual release and relief from whatever those spirits are causing mentally, physically, circumstantially, that bends you over and keeps you from your life from being straight, then you've got to run into Jesus because only he can handle demons. And demons were the problem, not people. This woman was bent over. This woman was bent over from something that was not obvious to everybody else. Everybody else thought she's got a spine problem in her back. Jesus said, no, she's got a demon problem in her back, which is why she has a spine problem in her back. You're thinking, because here's what you're thinking. You're thinking this. You're saying, well, wait a minute now. If my issues that's got me bent over, not able to straighten things out in my life, if my issues are spiritually based, some inroad I have allowed or some inroad someone has brought to me, some inroad, if my demon or demons are my real problem, and I need to come to Jesus, well, that's easy for her because Jesus was in the room. Jesus was physically in the synagogue on the Sabbath, so she could come to Jesus. I don't see him. If Jesus was standing in the front of the podium, I would run to him right now. But he's not here. Colossians 2 verses 15 to 17 says that on the cross, Jesus disarmed the devil. On the cross, watch this now, it's very important. Jesus disarmed the devil or ripped him of his authority. Now follow this. The greatness of the cross, yeah, Jesus died for our sins, but he did something else according to Colossians 2. He declawed the devil, ripped him of his authority. So the devil doesn't whip us because he has authority over us. He rips us by piggybacking on our permission. In other words, whatever he's doing to you, he's doing it by permission, not by authority. Because Jesus, Colossians 2 says, declawed him. He no longer can operate with authority unless given an okay to do so. But once he gets it okay, he uses your authority against you. So whatever the devil is doing to you, through you, that is continuous, something about you is telling him okay. Only Jesus' power can counteract that. But I hear what you're saying. But I would love to come to Jesus. Well, but I can't see Jesus. Well, let me explain. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, right? The resurrection, Easter. He rose from the dead. Then he stepped on a cloud. 40 days later, he steps on a cloud and he rises up to heaven, the ascension. When he gets to heaven, the Bible says, he is seated on the right hand of the Father, far above all rule, authority, and power. In other words, he's seated in the executive chair, calling the shots over everything in the spiritual realm. That's where Jesus Christ is seated. You say, okay, that's nice to know. Well, let me explain what else the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. When you accepted Christ, it says you died with him. You were raised with him. And then you were seated with him in heavenly places. Guess what he says? He says, you're sitting right next to Jesus and don't even know it. But you're sitting next to him in the spiritual realm, not in the physical realm. So if you're looking for your solutions in the physical realm, when there's a spiritual cause, you're looking in the wrong location. It's not, if it's a spiritual cause, the physical realm can't help you. It can just try to help you manage your misery, but it can't help you to get it immediately. Only Jesus can give you that. But Jesus is alive and well, seated on the right hand side of the Father. And if you are a Christian, the Bible says you're right next to him. You are right next to him. But because we don't live in that realm, operate from that realm, think in terms of that realm, we don't come to Jesus. We come to church. We come to a service. And programs can't deliver you from the spiritual realm. Sermons can't deliver you from the spiritual realm. They can inform you. They have their place. They are important. Jesus said, come to me, even though you're already in church. You're already in the synagogue. But I need you to come to me. He says, woman, you are freed from your sickness. Why could he tell her that? Why could he tell her she was free from her sickness? Watch this now. Watch this now. Are you ready? You ready? You got your seatbelt on, because this is special. He says in verse 16, and this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is. Watch this now. Jesus says, I'm going to set this woman free because of her daddy. Jesus says, this woman is a daughter of Abraham. She's connected to Abraham, so she's connected to the covenantal promises that I made to Abraham. Because of her relationship to Abraham, I'm going to deliver her today because she has a relationship that I can link to. Guess what the Bible says about Christians? It says you are the seed of Abraham. You got the same link that girlfriend has here in Luke chapter 13, you got the hookup. He says, if you're a Christian, man or woman, you're a son, you're a daughter of Abraham, that gives you, here it is, legal rights in heaven. See, it's a terrible thing not to know your rights. You see, because if you don't know your rights, people can get over on you. He says, this woman is a daughter of Abraham. Therefore, she has the right to be delivered. Let me explain something. You have the right to be free. You have the right to be delivered. You have the right to be healed. You have the right to have hope. You have that's your right, daughter. That's your right. God didn't save you for you to try to make it. He died and rose so you, 'cause you made it. Because here's the principle that most Christians don't know. It's a very simple statement, and yet its profundity is off the izzy. And that is, everything God is ever going to do for you, he's already done. Verse 14, but the synagogue official, indignant, that means ticked off, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, there are 6 days in which work should be done, so come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The senior pastor, says the head of the synagogue, that's the senior pastor. The senior pastor, guess what he woke up? He said, we ain't having this in church. That's what he said. He said, we are not having this. I got a sermon to preach. He didn't block my sermon. It took me 12 hours to preach a sermon. I can't be having my sermon interrupted by a supernatural deliverance. His program was more important than Jesus, the person. His program, and Jesus responds to him, you hypocrite. Verse 15, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water to drink? Then this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? Oh, Jesus is a bad boy. Bad boy. Jack Bauer don't have anything on Jesus. Jack Bauer, 24, Jesus is forever. Look. Jesus says, you hypocrite, you're going to leave church, go untie your donkey, untie your ox, let him refresh himself and get some water, and you think that's okay. I untie this woman who's been tied up to Satan, bound for 18 long years, and that's not okay. It's okay to take care of your cat, your dog, your animal, but not take care of people in church while you're using God's name. God wants to set people free, not just have a program, a religious tradition, a schedule, and a plan. We will have an order of service. But whenever Jesus wants to show up and show out, whenever Jesus wants to do something special, whenever he wants to go around, through, above, and under, and he wants to rearrange the earth, that's okay. Because whenever Jesus breaks in, he going to shake something up. He going to break something down. He going to deliver somebody. He's going to set somebody free. He's going to wake somebody up. He's going to heal some relationship. Because the church is not about a program, hypocrite. The church is about Jesus showing up and setting somebody free, healing somebody, delivering somebody, helping somebody, supplying the need of somebody, recovering an addict, breaking through pornography, overcoming drugs, healing an alcoholic, bringing sickness to doom and replacing it with health. That's what ought to be happening. In other words, in the house of God, we shouldn't just be hearing about Jesus. We should be seeing him show up. So I got good news for anybody in here who's been bound. I want you to consider that maybe this is a spiritual issue. Maybe it's not all about all the other stuff you've been doing that's not working. Maybe there's a demon who has made himself at home and you have been his hospitality committee. You have been his host, and he is now free to roam in your world, and you've done everything but get Jesus on the main line when you're sitting right next to him. It reminds me of that beautiful story. You remember Cinderella, don't you? This beautiful girl who was stuck in a bad situation for a long time, year after year after year. An evil stepmother with two evil stepsisters were causing her havoc. The devil and the twin sisters were there making life miserable. But one day, out of the invisible realm, showed up a fairy godmother. And the fairy godmother says, "Girl, don't you know who you are? I know you've been treated like a slave. You've been acting like a slave. You've been cleaning like a slave. But you don't know who you are." She turned some mice into some horses. She turned a pumpkin into a chariot. And all of a sudden, a beautiful dress and gown on Cinderella. Cinderella is now on her way to the ball. At the ball, she meets the prince. She falls in love immediately. She discovers she's loved. She discovers she's there to love. The problem is the clock strikes midnight. And the horses go back to being mice, and the chariot goes back to being a pumpkin, and she goes back to rags, and she's now back under the evil condition that she was raised in. But she needed to know something about the prince. He was going to hunt her down until he found her. Because, see, she left a shoe behind, and he went around looking for whoever this shoe would fit. He finally came to Cinderella and slid it on her feet and said, "Guess what? You leaving this place, you leaving this place for good. Why? Because I'm taking you to be with me. And according to the story, I think this is how it ends. And they live happily ever after." Somebody told me that if you are a prince, you're the son of a king. That must mean Jesus is the prince. God is the king. And guess what? He's looking for you. He's looking for you that's been bound, held hostage, need to be delivered, because he loves slipping things on your feet so he can set you free so you can move forward in a way you've never been forward before.
Well, now you understand what we meant by the title, Time to Straighten Up. And as you can see, it's a challenging message for all of us. And we have an exciting compilation of messages called Wonderful Womanhood. Many requested messages that challenge all of us from the lives of key women in the scriptures that will help us all to grow in our faith and to go deeper in our walk with God. So request yours for a gift of any amount. The compilation of messages that we want to send to you right away for a gift of any amount, your generous gift to the ministry of the Urban Alternative, will help us to keep the word coming to you strong. So 1-800-800-3222. Or log on to TonyEvans.org and let us hear from you right away. Thank you for your generosity. We'll get the compilation of messages, Wonderful Womanhood, to you, and we'll keep sending God's word your way with your help. God bless you until next time.